You don't have to go far to meet Sitkins, who voted no on Proposition 1. I took a walk out the radio station down Lincoln Street and soon bumped into Postman John Wiley leaning out of his mail truck.
I don't think it's fair. A more fair tax would be like a sales tax that's going to hit everybody.
Further down the block was Aline Henning. She served on the Citizens Task Force that unanimously recommended lifting the cap. Henning voted yes then, but no at the polls. The reason?
They need to look inside the city hall and see what they need to cut out, starting at the top.
Megan Pasternak, who was walking to her car, considered a 2 mil increase in 1 year too extreme. She wasn't confident the city would dedicate the money to the right areas. Instead, she'd prefer government look for ways to reduce spending.
Personally, when I've got money problems, I buckle down and cut something.
City Hall has already been thinking about ways to do that. The FY18 budget process will begin early this year, in November. They're starting with a budget deficit of $3.5 million. That's $1 million in the electric fund and $2.5 million in the general fund. Those numbers could worsen if state and federal funding falls through. Here's Gorman.
Where we are at risk from the state is in revenue sharing, which we had over 600,000 this year, but I think that's going to be at high risk next year, and in the feds for payment in lieu of tax funding and secure rural schools.
Should those sources disappear, Gorman says, SICA's deficit could balloon to $5 million.
The situation, I believe, is really quite critical. I'm optimistic that we can get through it, but it's going to require work on the part of the Assembly and the public.
In light of the property tax question failing, Gorman plans to focus on what he calls the three R's: revenue, reserves, and reductions. For revenue, he wants the Assembly to find a source that generates $1 million for the city. For reductions, he'll suggest downsizing local government by the same amount.
The lion's share of it would have to come out of the city, but I believe that the school district and the hospital would have to share in those reductions to a certain degree.
Gorman is also looking at a reduction in the workforce by as many as 6 or 7 positions, preferably through attrition rather than layoffs.
We did one layoff last year. It was painful, and I would like to avoid doing that.
When it comes to revenue, the third R, SICA has money in a variety of funds, some of which are protected and others not. Gorman will describe the parameters of tapping those funds at the next Assembly meeting. One idea of his is to make use of the permanent fund, which is protected by SICA's charter and currently has $32 million. Every year, the fund generates interest, which flows into the general fund. But through a special election, SICA could redirect it towards the electric fund until it's self-sustaining.
That would give the electric fund a steady subsidy into the future. And then we could wean off as consumption grows.
This, of course, deprives the general fund of that money. It's a tough balance, these three R's. And key to Gorman is that the city properly convey the depth of its budget crisis. He doesn't feel the city has always done a good job of doing that, which brought to mind a line from the movie Cool Hand Luke. The prison warden is mad at Paul Newman's character for saying something kind of flippant, and he says, "What we have here is a failure to communicate."
And he says it in a nice southern drawl, "What we have here is a failure to communicate." We have a great struggle in terms of communicating our need and our fiscal situation.
That disconnect between what the city thinks it needs and what citizens think it needs is something all parties must bridge to avoid the biggest R of all, that being a recession. Marty McGee, the state assessor, said that municipalities must be cautious to not cut city services like schools or infrastructure too deeply. Otherwise, those cities struggle to attract industry. I asked him for an example of this.
Places like Detroit, around Michigan, or in Wisconsin, and look at what happened to communities. You know, they'll cut all the services, and then they realize there's no way we can attract industry or jobs to our community unless we provide services. So now we're going to decide to fund it.
But how to fund it is a decision that must be made by the community. And given that this is the third time property taxes have been voted down in 15 years, SICA will need to look elsewhere for solutions. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.